I mean, just like with birth, let's just bring it back to that. You know, it's of such a sexual nature. I mean, sex and birth are exactly the same, except for they're not. But there's, you know, the same blueprint of hormones, the same body parts, even the same action of the round ligament, shortening so that it can either lift the cervix out of the way so it doesn't get battered, or clamp down, bring the baby like into the cervix as it lifts it up. And lots of the same sounds and movements for sure. It's the same. It's just like we all forgot they have everything to do with each other. But this is Freudian, so huge apology here, but how bold one gets when one is sure of being loved. Like, that's the environment that a woman needs to like, you know, oh my God, I love your sounds. Like, oh, like, yes, like going and like letting her know that not only will she not be judged, but she is like the most powerful person in the room, the most like incredible goddess creation herself. And we're all witnessing her with so much love and awe.
Welcome to the show. This is your host, Mackenzie River. I am the mama of the Mama Psychedelia podcast, and I am so stoked to be here with you. Mama Psychedelia is a home for education and enrichment through storytelling that destigmatizes the psychedelic nature of childbearing and parenting. The psychedelic nature being one of expansion, initiation, intuition, and the profound presence that parenthood calls for. We are here for the upliftment of lived experiences, for conversations that center reproductive sovereignty, ancestral guidance, and medicines of the earth. We are here to celebrate the whole continuum from preconception to postpartum, familial rites of passage, birth, death, and beyond. This is not at all a space to persuade, prescribe, or preach. We are not licensed medical or mental health professionals. Nothing said here is medical advice. We don't promote or advocate for the use of illegal substances. We simply wish to hold space for education, harm reduction, and medicine work that have long histories of use in cultures worldwide. Welcoming parents, birth workers, ceremonial facilitators, and educators to share their own experiences and stories of ceremony, ritual, wellness, entheogenic allyship, and the intuitive realms. Get ready to open your hearts to the wisdom of these radical sovereign souls that invite us into their journeys of healing, magic, revelation, and transformation. May you follow your own inner compass, and may this show support you in finding your way back home to yourself.
A new passage lies
back. In this episode of the Mama Psychedelia podcast, I interview Kate Coletti, and together we journey deep into the world of birth and holistic pelvic care. Kate shares about her personal journey as a young body worker turned midwife, then mother, and her devotion to working with women in birth as well as in her hands-on, hands-in body therapy practice. Kate helps women restore pelvic health through intravaginal manual therapy that softens and strengthens tissues, relieves symptoms, and she clairvoyantly taps into the well of wisdom that resides in the root. We discuss the power that this tender work holds for women pre-pregnancy, in the postpartum time, and really in all stages of womanhood, in the way of healing trauma and greater supporting our physiology and alignment, which can often be completely life-altering, especially in how we exist in our bodies, how we birth, and in our sexual expression. Kate speaks to her book, Enlightened Birth, which is not yet released, and I'm so excited for it. And she shares so much profound wisdom and beauty on birth and how transformative birthing is no matter what way one chooses. I can't wait for you to dive into all of this content. She's so generous with what she shares in this episode with us all. And yeah, I can't wait. This is being released a little later than anticipated due to life being very full here in our high season in Costa Rica. So Origins Gathering has just ended and she's just provided so much in those 2 weeks in the forms of workshops and individual sessions. And I had the privilege of receiving from her in her week off here in Costa Rica, and it was such a deep, powerful experience that I'm so, so grateful to have received. Here she is.
Excited to be here this evening for another episode of the Mama Psychedelia podcast with Kate Coletti, who I had the honor of meeting last year here in Costa Rica at Origins Gathering and attended one of her workshops, which was super profound and relevant to a lot of what we'll be exploring here in this episode. Feels really special to have Kate here with me tonight as well on the eve of her birthday. And yeah, a leap into a whole new chapter. So thank you for being here, Kate. And if you want to share a little bit of maybe where you're tuning in from to begin, or where you come from, where you call home, we'll start there.
Great. Thank you so much, Mackenzie. Well, I'm very fortunate to be tuning in from Esalen tonight, and I'm here celebrating my 40th birthday, which is tomorrow. I can't believe it. And it's on the Pacific coast of California, and I live just a few hours north in Sonoma, California, where I've called home for the last 20 years.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, I'm so happy to hear that you're there. And yeah, you met a sweet new friend of mine just this week too. And yeah, that place really calls to me. So yeah, a special place to spend a monumental birthday.
Absolutely. As it should. Everyone should make their way here at some point in their lives. It's so special.
Oh, amazing. So Kate, I would love to hear, you know, a little bit of your personal journey, and then we're going to dive super deep into the work that you do in the world. But if there's anything you want to share, you know, about your journey of becoming, like your early life, adolescence, you know, if there's anything you want to share about your ancestral background or where you grew up, I love to just get, you know, like little tidbits of the full experience of one's life. So if there's anything you want to share, of that nature.
Happily. So I grew up in Georgia, actually. And as far as birth work goes, my grandmother on my father's side was a labor and delivery nurse in Atlanta, Georgia. And I always knew that. Now looking back at that, and just the times, the years, the decades that she worked and knowing her, I know she was, you know, a labor and delivery nurse in the hospital and probably like fawned over the doctors. And it was probably really, really different. I'm probably doing some healing, you know, for my line on her behalf, like at this juncture in my life, I'm fairly certain, and actually have worked really hard in the past couple of years to resurrect my mother line, which is of Jewish ancestry. My father line's Catholic. And just really like feeling the support of those ancestors on that side. And in my holistic pelvic care work, really, you know, find it profound, the masculine and feminine, as many of you might know, and energy medicine, I'm not making it up, it's like Chinese medicine, all agree. The left side is our feminine side and the right is our masculine. And so you'll really feel that when you're getting more embodied, and especially when you're exploring in the pelvic area and the pelvic bowl, the left and right can feel like different rooms sometimes. So anyway, spending a lot of time on the left side these days, I guess you could say. I'll get back to your question. And I just, so anyway, I went to massage school when I was 17. I graduated high school a little bit early so I could do that. And then I went to college in North Carolina and I was doing chair massage outside of this kind of hippie bookstore. And I went to App State, or I'm pretty sure that's still where the hippies hang out. And I was just starting to get interested in birth, and I'm not sure exactly where the first, you know, the first thing that like piqued my interest, but I started ordering books online with my dad's credit card. And of course I got like all the ones that I would maybe even want to burn these days, I would have to say, like, just like all like the, you know, like main names that, that mainstream might think of. And the woman who owned the bookstore was like, no, here. And she gave me spiritual midwifery. And I know this is a lot of midwives have shared this similar story. And so I read Spiritual Midwifery and off I went. I kept ordering birth books, but more to the natural birth point, and applied for midwifery schools. And by that summer, I'd done enough like dollar chair massages to go visit the farm a few times. And then I went to the Seattle Midwifery School, which is now Bastyr's Department of Midwifery, and had an incredible education and finished midwifery school at 23, started a midwife practice, Pachamama Midwifery, with my dear friend Bila, who actually lives down in Costa Rica now, in Samara. And then started traveling a bit, doing midwifery work overseas. I was telling the story because it's my birthday, but I turned 26 in Africa. We had been in Uganda doing some births, and I landed in Jay Bay on the beach and was teaching yoga for surfers every day and hanging out at the backpackers. And then I realized I should probably go home and be a midwife again after several months of that. I'm 26 now, I better grow up, kind of thing. And so I came home and I got pregnant pretty soon thereafter with a boyfriend that I'd had for since like all of my 20s. And my son Jaden Leo was born in 2011. And it was hectic. It was an insane birth journey. Not insane. It was a powerful birth journey. It was exactly what I needed, and actually has, if anything, looking back, really instilled my trust in birth even more, because like, man, I needed that. It redirected me, and I was able to combine all of my experiences with bodywork and midwifery and then my own healing journey to help women heal after birth. And I went on to study holistic pelvic care and did a lot of PT trainings. They let me do that with my midwifery credential, and now have this like just amazingly fulfilling, definitely life purpose. You know, bizarre, as I say, like I'm massaging vaginas for a living. Definitely didn't plan that or see it coming, but it is just the thing, and it is so inspiring, and I love it so much.
Aw, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love getting the backstory, you know, for my, like, personally, that's like so juicy to me. And I know that that just like plays such a role in where we are now, you know? And so I love hearing, yeah, where you came from and how your work has evolved. And, yeah, had no idea you started on the path so young, but I guess that makes sense, you know, like after, yeah, getting to know you a little bit and you sharing that you're, you know, just turning 40 now and have so many years under your belt in these realms. And so you started midwifery school, or you completed it at 23, and then you had your son at 27 or so.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Right.
Beautiful. And so your midwifery practice, was that primarily based in California? And then at what point did it evolve into more of the pelvic care work?
So birth will change you. It will change you. It'll change you so much you won't recognize yourself. You know, it changes everything about your life. It softens your heart and your pelvic bowl and your whole body. And it softened and changed me so much. And part of it, I'm sure, was my healing and processing of my own birth journey, but it also made me so soft. And when I was in my early 20s, traveling around, delivering babies at all, you know, all over the world, like just feeling like really bold. And I just, nothing we were doing was wrong, but it just like, I could like see things and it just didn't affect me the same way that it did once, I was a mother myself. I also was just so deeply personally affected and aware of the lack of care for this specific need, which is postpartum pelvic healing. And I know that it's becoming more popular and there's a lot of incredible pelvic floor PTs out there. But what I feel like uniquely that I am, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but it's definitely quite unique, is, you know, it's the midwifery model of care of that. And it's a real missed opportunity, I feel like, to work in that space and not honor the depths and you know, oracle nature and just have incredible reverence, and the potential for somatic release. And really it's, you know, an access point to God, to source. There's the most important place that exists on the planet. And so to me, it's like where we should go to pray first. And this can kind of move into your theme and your podcast purpose. But you know, it's sitting at the spirit door. And so I found a way, which I think, you know, all of us birth workers, it's a calling. It couldn't be any other way because it's a really hard work and it's such a lifestyle kind of work. But after so many years, I think most would love to find a career that they could schedule. And so having a son also made that need more of a real thing. And I couldn't just, you know, just be on call all the time. I could, but I would be missing out on his life. And these days I still do births. I'm really not a primary midwife. I would love to go to home births and assist and things like that. But I can't really have, I don't have the capacity to have a full-time healing practice like I do and teach the way I do and mother the way I want to and be on call. It would like kind of break the whole system, I'm afraid. But I do really love to go to births, and I actually end up at a lot of hospital births for VBACs and women who just, you know, have really unique situations that intrigue me, where I'm like, well, you're not going without me. And I really believe that we can have really beautiful, empowering births anywhere, as long as we are holding that birth field with reverence, that we can surround the mother with believers and allow for whatever that is. It's a ceremony, the alchemy, it's like the miracle that happens within a health, like a safely held container. And so when the spirit door is wide open, just like in a medicine ceremony, if it's not well held, if it's not really, you know, really held, yes, the potential for healing is great, but so is the potential for trauma. And so that's what I like to ready people for in my birth class that I've been teaching for like the last 15 years or so. It's been slowly evolving and really in a beautiful place. It's actually becoming a book. But that we can do this anywhere, you know, and anyone can have that sacred birth experience. Do we get to pick or plan it, or is it your fault, or like any of that? Like, absolutely not. This is, you know, we're talking about the great mystery here, and it will be what it will be, but it can be sacred, and it will absolutely, in my opinion, be exactly what it needs to be. And that's probably quite enormous to change you into a mother. And so I did experience that part for my birth for sure. I would actually love to do it again. I'll just put that prayer out into the world, and maybe it's my age or I don't know what it is, but I am feeling that call. And that kind of go all in, like may it be so powerful and gentle and transformational and deeply, deeply, deeply healing. And I think as far as ancestry goes and the real truth about birth is, I think we don't even get the potential for healing that that birth really has. And maybe we feel it in our own lives. Like, yes, it changes how you feel about your body and how you see life, and it softens you and opens you in ways that it really just expands your feminine range in every capacity. I liken it to like puberty or menopause, like, which take like sometimes 5 or 10 years to go through, but it's like 1 year and you're totally different. Yeah. And, anyway, I'm tangenting, I guess, a little bit here, but these are my favorite subjects. I could just talk and talk and talk.
Yeah, no, I'm loving all of this. And there's, yeah, such a deep resonance in everything you're sharing, and really just, yeah, honoring like the work that you are doing in this holistic pelvic care sphere and how relevant and beneficial your midwifery model is in like tying it all together, because I think there's some amazing, you know, pelvic care practitioners in the world, of course, but I feel like, yeah, like bridging the gap that I feel like I've seen existing, and like for you to have such a deep, experience, obviously, of your own journey, but also working with so many women in the postpartum space, in the tenderness of that, that, you know, may or may not have their own birth traumas as a midwife, and then coming into the work that you do now. It's so profound. And, you know, you mentioned that your birth class is becoming a book, and I want to hear all about that a little later on. But yeah, I love just like hearing you go deep into these topics that are your life and your work in the world. I suppose I would love to hear now if you feel like you're primarily working with women in the postpartum time, or if it's a wide range of women, like in many different, you know, spaces of their journey, whether that be like preconception time or whatever, you know, or if it's primarily like postpartum care.
So I've worked with women of literally like every single age, and I'm excited to do that. However, my specialty would definitely be the childbearing year, and from preconception, which is a real time. And if anyone's ever, you know, been trying to get pregnant for a while or felt like they were struggling with that time, they'll know like that there's not a lot of good support, and the path, especially if people decide to go with like IVF, can be just like really the opposite of all the things that we're talking about, reverent and held and all of that. It's like, it's yucky even a little bit and feels very cold. And so I love going, on that journey early on with people and supporting them. And then I do think what's happening in my career is, and with Enlightened Birth becoming just a little bit more of not just like a birth class, but hopefully like a movement is how I see it, and a language for birth that has been coming through my life. And it's not just from birth experience. Birth and life experience are the same, you guys. Like, it's like I learned a lot from my birth, actually, but a lot of Enlightened Birth actually comes from healing from heartbreak, you know, learning how to surrender and have faith in the journey, and to come back to love over and over and over again. So that, and then also I feel like because there's a little missing link, I've started teaching midwives. And so I've gotten continuing education units for midwives that they need to keep their license. And I'm kind of, I call it manual medicine for midwives, and teaching them just like the parts that like would be so valuable to identify who might need more care or even treat, with a gentle listening touch, and maybe honing some of their unique gifts, and being able to help their clients who might, you know, be dealing with something postpartum, like a prolapse or incontinence or pain with sex or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So important. I know myself speaking, like being in this phase of like, I'm like, feel like I'm gearing up for my preconception time with, you know, my partner and I are in that phase ourselves. And I've been thinking about this work a lot. I mean, I have been for years within my own experience in birth work, but just seeing it be such a beneficial piece, you know, before I step into that that phase of life and through the birth portal. And, you know, I think like, wow, this work is so pivotal and powerful for women in this postpartum, but like how much more beneficial could it potentially be if we start earlier on, you know? And how can that potentially alter our birth outcomes? And, you know, so yeah, you know, maybe selfishly, I would love for you to speak a little bit about, yeah, really stepping into this exploration with the internal work before pregnancy and birth.
So first of all, congratulations. That's really exciting, Mackenzie. Obviously, I can see that very clearly. And that's what happens next. A lot of us, I think, get called into birth work because we really want to have a baby. But of course we do. We are creation herself. And that's what wants to come through us. So yes, we as women, will, and everyone's different and everyone has different histories, and some things are just very physical, like, oh, they were like a gymnast forever, they rode horses, and like, or they had that bad fall when they were young and broke their tailbone or something like that. It just puts it on their radar that there's like a pelvic issue, or maybe there's even a symptom, maybe like incontinence or pain or that kind of thing. But all of us go through life, and we, you know, get rocked to our root. There's moves, there's losses, there's changes, there's experiences, there's what we see in the news. Oh my goodness, you know, that we take into our bodies, and it starts to become a bit of like a storehouse energy. And it feels like sometimes like it's the basement of our body and we completely forgot what we've been storing down there. And you just like pack things away. And when we go in there, sometimes there's just like, and it sounds like we're like, you know, going in there. It's just like one gloved finger, quite gentle. But once I place my hand, I cover someone up, and sometimes, and we like kind of start to explore, and it can feel like, wow, like you haven't been home or checked the basement in like decades. And that can really cloud our lens on life. Like those experiences, if we hold on to all of that in our bodies, and this is actually my best example, is a birth example, and it's my own. I had a crazy birth, or it felt like it to me. I was disappointed, and he came out my vagina, but like literally left it initially, like feeling like I felt quite broken. And I would talk about it here and there. Like, again, I felt like maybe I needed to pull back from my work. And I'm sure I probably did what a lot of people do, is like share it as a way of processing. And maybe in inappropriate ways, I can't remember, but I'm sure that happened a little bit. And then a few years later, I was going to go rogue, actually, but I found holistic pelvic care. Tammy Kent, she wrote Wild Feminine, among other books, and she's a beautiful, incredible medicine woman, and her download is very powerful. Her training's only 4 days. So anyone who practices holistic pelvic care, which I would encourage you to seek out in your area, you can actually find a list on Tammy's website, which is Wild Feminine. Is coming from their own, you know, experiences and trainings. And really it's just her download that is so, so powerful in my opinion. And it's still in every session that I do, but she doesn't, it's not a lot of manual therapy training, is what I'm getting at, or pelvic PT training or anything like that. Anyway, I was like, pick me at the training. I have birth trauma. She didn't pick me. And I just traded with another woman in the class, and that's how we learn on each other sometimes in different trainings, and went home. And about 3 weeks later, I was like talking, and the opportunity to share my birth story came up, and I was like, oh my God, oh my gosh, like it's not a million pounds. Like the story still exists, but I'm not holding it. It didn't live in my body anymore. And I felt so free. And so why I'm sharing that is because, you know, once you're pregnant, we can still do pelvic care. I love working with moms as we're getting close to that spirit door opening. Her body is soft. She's starting to get, you know, really ready, and we can just feel, and you can feel on your own body too, like that, like it's starting to turn to butter, and you don't have to touch your cervix. You just, everything is changing on a cellular level as you are literally falling open, opening for life to come through you and getting so soft. But if there's a bunch of old history, if there's a bunch of old stuff, if there's stuff that you've been packing in the basement for decades, once someone's pregnant, while I do happily work on them, it, you know, there's a baby in there. So like, there's some like level of like, we're not cleaning out all the black closets, like getting all like the mold that's been growing and best, you know, no, like, you know, we kind of, we're gentle about it and respectful and honoring of everything that's happening in her body at that time. So if I could clean out the basement and help someone like really prepare the nest, sorry for switching metaphors, in a way that like, you know, that just before they're pregnant, it can be a game changer. Does everyone need it? Absolutely not. Are there guided visualizations that work just as well for some people? For sure. And some people, it would be the absolute game changer. The first time I worked on a pregnant woman, which is actually something that holistic pelvic care practitioners are taught not to do, but I happily do, sorry, I just like kind of like, blah. The first time I did it on a pregnant woman, I like teared. I just was like, this is a missing link. Oh my goodness. Like we can do body work ahead of time to pave the way and take some of the work out of her labor. Oh my goodness. And just in case listeners are thinking like, oh, but how would I ever get that? And what can I do? And is this the same as perineal massage? I'll give you my two cents real quick right now, is that perineal massage, especially when you see it, like I see it on Instagram sometimes with people who are actually selling, by the way, like tools, massage tools and wands and things, and they're stretching their vaginas open for however many seconds they're recommending. Like, you guys, do not do that. You don't need to stretch your vagina open ahead of time. The whole labor train is run by hormones and your body will soften and open for your baby. However, the way our anatomy works is that there's these big swaths of muscle that make up what most people consider the pelvic floor, the deeper muscles that that we can, you know, feel if we put our finger inside your vagina, you'll feel like the bigger muscles. And then there's these little muscles at the very opening. And one's like a figure eight. It goes around the openings at the base of your body and it crisscrosses right at the perineal body. And then there's another one that goes from side to side and inserts at the sit bones, transverse perineal, it's called, right across. And so it's like Grand Central Station right there. And if there's a big fat knot as those muscles in like kind of intersect, you want to know about it and tend to it prior to giving birth. And that just takes, well, if your belly will allow, or you can ask your partner or seek care to check that space. And it might not be like super stretchy and open, but what you want to make sure is there's not a knot there. And if you find a lot of tension, you hold it. And so like you would, if you reach around on your own body, your thumb would be inserted versus when I'm working on somebody, I'm using my index finger. And then the other fingers can hold the perineum on the outside and just relax your jaw, soften your face, bring your breath and your love, and just a really listening, gentle touch to the tissues as you hold. And it's actually probably even beneficial to be doing it, like it sounds weird, but like while you're watching a movie or something, so that you're like not giving it too much attention and letting it just melt down, tend to that space. Very generously. And I'm not sure if you've had an episode on this, but I could have a whole episode on this. Very generously, actually, sex is probably the very most pleasurable and effective way of unwinding perineal tension and any tension in the pelvic bowl, creating space, readying ground ligament to do that work that it's going to do in labor. And especially when you're in control and really like intuitive and in your body and in your pleasure, to unwind and release any tension that's held in that space. It's also a great way after birth and after healing has happened and the body's had its respectful time to knit back together. Sex is a wonderful way of unwinding scar tissue if you have it, and softening and bringing all of that good juicy flow back into those tissues so the body can keep healing and heal all the way.
Thank you for all of that. Yeah. Oh, you're just like so full of wisdom. And I love just, hearing it all pour out of you. And I'm just so grateful. I appreciate you bringing in the piece of like, you know, self-touch and exploration as well, because like how many beings on this planet do not touch their sexual organs if it isn't for arousal or pleasure specifically? Like I don't feel like it's a common story to just like literally, you know, enter ourselves with presence and just like hold our tissue or just listen, you know, and how profound that can be. Like, I remember my first experience of that. And then like, even in your workshop of being in the sacred safe space with other women and just like being in that presence and just, yeah, like what can be evoked from like that, you know, as simple as that. And then being held by someone like yourself, I really, yeah, hope to experience that and hopefully soon, because I know you're going to be back in Costa Rica real quick. But yeah, I'm so in alignment with doing this exploration, you know, earlier on, and also in the postpartum time, and but also hearing the benefit of just like sexual pleasure and how beneficial that is for scar tissue and all of that. That's amazing to hear. And I suppose for women that are coming to you to receive postpartum care and support, at what point postpartum do you feel is maybe a good time to dive into that work, post-healing and all of that?
Yeah, it's different for everyone. And if I have a relationship with someone, and if pelvic healing is your thing postpartum, you know it. Like, you've had probably a deep tear or pain or severe incontinence that isn't getting better right away, or something that you're like, this is not okay, because it's not. And one thing to remember is that we heal. We heal, and we are like just remembering that you are creation herself. And just like the earth, our great mother, when our bodies have something happen to them, or there's a scar or a mark on the landscape, it actually just catalyzes enormous healing and growth. Like, where I live in California, we have wildfires, and on the mountain that I lived for many years, there was a bad fire, and it was so ugly. Right after it moved through, it was really, really sad and scary and ugly, actually. And then, of course, right away, the mycelium get to work and things start knitting back together, and you don't pay attention at first. You might even not want to look at first. Some people might really relate to that. The answer to your question quickly is like 5 to 6 weeks after the body's had that really respectful time to do its own work. But in time, every time, every single time, it integrates back into the whole. And the fires were a few years ago, but last year we had this incredible purple flower, like super bloom on the mountain. And it just made me really, really happy in my heart. I'm like, this is what happens. We are more beautiful. And my body healed. Oh my gosh. I had an episiotomy and a forceps delivery that left my vagina like between my knees, and we had to transfer to the hospital and left a few hours later, because I was well supported at home. I was like, my midwives, I even have a chiropractor coming. I'm going home. Not that I'm recommending that to the listeners, but I knew that what I wanted to do, and I knew I could. And so they were like, you can't walk out of here holding your baby. You have to be in a wheelchair. Like, you have to. And so we actually have a photo of Jaden's papa holding him in the wheelchair, and I'm pushing it because I could not sit down. Like, there was no freaking way. And so, so in that an early time, it can be very scary, and it's very easy to feel, of course, scared and broken. And I just want to say, you're not broken, you're healing. And to seek care early on, and you could seek support. I want to like offer my support to everyone listening. I don't know how many people that's going to be, but seek support early on if you know that's your thing. And then hands-on healing care, loving care. And if you do seek specific pelvic support and it doesn't make you feel better, because sometimes in some PT practices, there's a lot of evaluation. Well, if you're being evaluated when you're at your absolute weakest and they're like, squeeze here, squeeze here, squeeze here, squeeze here, and like, that's hilarious, it's not really helping you heal. And so you really want to seek like treatment based, like where you're really getting the treatment, not just a lot of evaluation. I don't mean to like sound, but if you're not, if it's not working for you, it's not working for you. And so move on and continue to look for someone who can help you. And know that that whole time our bodies heal. And as the tissues heal, sometimes they heal in a way that there's a lot of scarring. And when we're scarred or like we're leaning on tension instead of rebuilding the strength and restoring the softness, if there's just tension there, and because it hurts, of course, you know, we're bracing and we're protecting, or maybe we're leaking. And so we squeeze our legs together instead of doing a pelvic floor or a pelvic bowl, like whole, like close and lift and engage. We're using tension. If you're just like resorting to tension, the tissues aren't going to get fed. So tension will basically, it's like they're getting starved. They're not getting the oxygen and the nutrients coming from blood flow. They're not getting lymph drainage or energy support. And so even just gentle massage on yourself, also using other things to restore that flow, like sitz baths are great. Doing things that you can, you know, I want to give you more examples, but even just like letting it see air, instead of just being like kind of tucked away. And I have some other ideas if it is a more severe case, like cold laser and things like that. But even just gentle massage on your own will help restore that flow so that your body can do what it knows how to do, which it's the innate healer. It will heal itself if it has what it needs. And so just kind of keep that in mind. And I feel like these things kind of work behind the scenes. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to know everything about what you're doing or even what you're touching. When you know that you're like, I'm restoring flow and that's your intention, well, intention is the great secret.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. The innate healer and the great secret. Yes. Yeah. And I appreciate hearing like just, yeah, some tools for the postpartum time, whether you know, people are seeking this kind of care from a practitioner or not. And I suppose that brings me to this curiosity around, like, in your opinion, with the knowledge that you carry, what do you feel are a couple tools that women can be incorporating in their birth preparation as far as their own pelvic care, and perhaps like in their birth as well? If they're not seeing a practitioner, I feel like there's so many, yeah, like Instagram videos and like do this and do that and this circuit and that circuit and this exercise and, you know, but like, yeah, from the wisdom that you carry yourself and what you've seen, I'm curious what might be some recommendations for people at home.
Sure. So one really, really helpful recommendation is to find your pelvic floor engagement before you open all the way. Oh my gosh, what I would have paid. And I had already been like, again, like massage school, midwifery school, like yoga teacher trainings. Like I wasn't like novice in any way and still had no preparation. I'm sure I had a great pelvic floor contraction, like just anyway, because we get them all the time, every time we stand up, you know? And we just took it all for granted. And weren't those just great, good old days? But if you can really harness that ahead of time, that will help you so much. And if you're doing a pelvic floor contraction, which is a Kegel, you guys, but you know, we don't have to use that term, or that term doesn't mean anything if you're not doing it correctly. But a full pelvic floor contraction. So I have lots and lots of different cueing, but one that I generally start with is those big swaths of muscle that I was talking about are called the levators. And so they're like the elevator. And so you inhale, and as your breath, like first it fills your lungs and your rib cage expands, the diaphragm descends. And then take a deeper breath, this time moving it into your belly. And eventually your inhales moving through all the layers until you sense that the elevator, those levators, that big swath of muscle that fill the pelvic bowl, lengthen and descend with your inhalation. So while I'm going to teach you how to contract it, this lengthen and descend. And even like, I imagine those little figure eight muscles, that's like the doors of the elevator. And so even like inhale, bring the elevator to the basement, like the basement, like the parking garage of your body. Sorry, that was inappropriate. And then press the doors open. And so that's like actually your pushing muscles right there. Like you're finding like your, that's that opening, and that's where you're headed when you're pregnant. So I'm going to talk about engaging it, but like, honestly, when you're pregnant, especially in the second half of your pregnancy, in my opinion, and I know that it really depends on the body, and if you are an athlete, you might be bored by my opinion, but all, we have our whole lives to strengthen and engage and, you know, all of that. And pregnancy is about deepening and opening and widening and softening and melting, getting so soft that you're letting it come to you. So that opening, like, I want you to focus on the inhale when you're pregnant, like 10 inhales. And then as you exhale, you'll ride the elevator up and close the door, squeeze them closed at the opening and draw the elevator up into your body, feeling that even that engagement come all the way up to like towards your belly button. So you feel the deeper, deep core, those transverse abdominals engaging too, like a co-contraction of the pelvic floor and deep core. And you can do that throughout your pregnancy safely. But just to say again, while you're finding that engagement so that you have it on the flip side after the birth, the importance is going to be, the focus should be on that softening and opening and finding that space. And you can really feel as you start to do that. And even as I'm just like sharing this with you all, and of course I share it many times a day with my clients, that's when I get all my pelvic floor exercise in. But I'm talking at the same time, and it's actually like stressful because all of the sphincters and diaphragms are connected in our body. They echo and mirror one another. And so because I'm talking at the same time and my jaw's engaged and working right now, it's like I can't really do the whole practice. I can't really do the whole thing. And so I want you to feel all of that opening, all of the sphincters dilating, all of the diaphragms like opening, freeing, moving freely, descending. And another one that I use right now, at least, it's been really present at some of the births I've been to recently. It's been like kind of like almost like a mantra, affirmation coming through, but the top of your head where you had a little soft spot once upon a time, where you had that little fontanelle as your baby will have, imagine it opening like a window at your crown at the top. And then opening your root in the same way, as wide as your pelvic bowl and energy current flowing back to the earth. So open crown, open root, like a hollow bamboo, no resistance. And Krishna Das says, I won't claim it as my own, but you can't fake surrender, but when it happens, it changes everything. And so that all in, well, the all in is going to be the biggest factor in your success having a natural birth. And to me, a success really, and it might be a natural birth, it might not as far as like medications go, but it's a really powerful, gentle experience, just like a beautiful medicine ceremony. It changes you. It has to be enormous. All of that is true. But it will be much gentler if you are not resisting it. The resistance is futile. At the least, just like in life, if we resist what's inevitable, it just hurts more and takes longer. And so getting just so soft, taking that approach where you're just all in and stoked for it and going for it and really willing to feel it all the way. And then another, you know, probably my favorite words to live in birth by. These words to live in birth by were an Instagram thing I did a while ago until other people started using it. And I was like, that's not words to live in birth by. Anyway. And I peaked, and I'll tell you that one in just a second, but, you know, make prayers, not plans, and start, you know, setting your intentions of that powerful, gentle birth, envisioning your baby on your chest, snuggled into you. Really trust your intuition as a mother, because you can trust that. It is profound, and true. And yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm kind of starting to like kind of go on and on, but I just could go on and on. So I'll let you ask another question or share.
Yeah, no, it was so, so beautiful. And I feel really moved by every piece that you've spoken to. And just feel like, yeah, this is such beneficial information for really anyone that's tuning in, whether they plan to birth themselves or will be supporting someone that does. I feel like this is relevant to anyone, and a lot of wisdom that maybe feels like hard to access for many. So I just, yeah, I really deeply appreciate it all. Yeah. I'm like, where to go next? I feel like we could talk all day. And I want to be realistic here. I feel like a topic that I'm curious to hear about, and as I'm sure many listeners are, and that feels relevant to many stages of womanhood, is female ejaculation. And I'm curious if this is something that, you know, you feel is something that women can, practice or develop for themselves, if that is like in relationship with like their pelvic bowl muscles, if you feel like this is something that is innate for some women, or if it's something that, you know, impacts birth experiences. I know it's something that like I've been asked over the years and, you know, isn't like my area of expertise in understanding like how it even takes place, but that it just is a part of some women's lives and maybe isn't for others. And I'm very curious if you have anything to share on that front.
So, I mean, I'm blushing a little bit. I'm like, ooh, I love this topic. It definitely like woke me up. So just to be super clear, this is not my expertise at all. And it has nothing to do with holistic pelvic care, which is not sexual. It's obviously very, very supportive and super sex positive and very helpful, especially if someone's having pain with sex. But I'm not like stimulating women in my sessions at all. So there's a book, Sherry Winston's book, The Anatomy of Arousal, is my favorite book that addresses this topic. And she does her own drawings in that book and talks about the urethral sponge and, where it comes from. And to me, it reminds me of like letting down breast milk. It could just come and come and come and come. And in my personal experience, it was like a goal. I was like, I want to learn to do this, and did. And I feel like it's amazing and sacred. And I would love to listen to a podcast that went all in on it. But it's not something that I like really, I don't want to be like every woman can, like some teachers do, even though like, I want to believe that. I believe that like we all, if we get clear on something, a goal that we have for our bodies and tend to it and research it and have a supportive partner that we can really, I mean, just like with birth, let's just bring it back to that. You know, it's of such a sexual nature. I mean, sex and birth are exactly the same, except for they're not. But there's, you know, the same blueprint of hormones, the same body parts, even the same action of the round ligament, shortening so that it can either lift the cervix out of the way so it doesn't get battered, or clamp down, bring the baby like into the cervix as it lifts it up. And lots of the same sounds and movements for sure. It's the same. It's just like we all forgot they have everything to do with each other. But this is Freudian, so huge apology here, but how bold one gets when one is sure of being loved, like that's the environment that a woman needs to like, you know, oh my God, I love your sounds. Like, oh, like, yes, like going and like letting her know that not only will she not be judged, but she is like the most powerful person in the room, the most like incredible goddess creation herself. And we're all witnessing her with so much love and awe. And so if you're trying to learn to ejaculate, like if someone's like encouraging you in that way and with a technique that is right on the G-spot and the urethral sponge in a way that, and you're not holding back, like, because you feel like it might make you pee or you're not really sure, you don't want to like lose yourself, to find yourself just like birth. Like if it's held in the right way, I like to imagine that, yeah, every woman could find that. And let me tell you, it's like as good as it gets. It can just like spray. It's incredible. And just like breast milk, it like can keep coming, and it's not urine. So that I'll say that. So thank you.
No, I appreciate it. I know it's like, ooh, like I'm going there, but you know, it's something that I've been curious about because it is innate for some women. And then I feel like it's like a cultivated practice for others. And I've just been curious, like, you know, that process, like how that, activation, I suppose, like translates in a birth space. If that's been part of someone's journey, you know, what, yeah, how could that impact the birth experience? You know,
I see what you're saying, and it kind of crosses into like orgasmic birth. Maybe you're kind of touching on that. I mean, definitely, it's a lot of the same nerve endings, and sometimes I've definitely witnessed trauma carry over in labor that maybe one knew or did not know about. Of the sexual nature that came up in labor when the baby's head was descending through that space. And I wish that I could teach orgasmic birth. Like, can we just call it ecstatic birth? Because it is absolutely ecstatic, but it's also an enormous sensation, probably the strongest thing that you've ever felt. The birth that I was at, like maybe just like 2 weeks ago or so, right as soon as the baby was born, and it was an incredible, you know, beautiful hospital, natural birth VBAC. The mom was on insulin, so she needed to be in the hospital. So she transferred from her home birth plan, had the birth that she exactly wanted and needed. And it was just awesome. And right after, she said, like, pushing did not hurt. It felt like so much. It felt like a lot. I mean, I'm sure more pressure than she'd ever felt in her body ever before. And it didn't hurt. Pain was not the right word for that. And so I love that. Mm. With sex and too, we have, you know, endorphins on the rise with the oxytocin, the love that is on the rise. And so that is what really drives the whole train. And love is why is like, you know, the first chapter in Enlightened Birth. Like, love is why. Love is why everything. But endorphins are also a part of that parasympathetic nervous system, making us, you know, endure whatever it might be sexually or birth-wise, in ways that wouldn't be, you know, on like just like in a normal setting. And so back to birth, which is really what I, you know, can talk more about, but like, I'm definitely not talking about sex. That's like, okay, I really know nothing about that topic, so we won't go there, but birth that, you know, can be the strongest thing you've ever felt. As I just said, if you don't remember anything else that I said today, like, and you're in the throes of that, like the endorphins are coming for you. Like there is natural opiate release that comes, you know, in proportion, and maybe it doesn't have to hurt. And maybe you'll orgasm, because like, please, I would love that for everyone. But yeah, can't quite teach that class yet.
Yeah, no, I hear that. And I appreciate, yeah, the ecstatic birth or like orgasmic. To me, like orgasmic is just like, yeah, it's that connection with the divine. It's like infinite, you know, well, and does orgasmic always have to be just like nothing but pleasure? Or is it that like expansive nature that is birth, you know, like that is the transformation that birth will always bring?
Well, what's interesting is with ejaculation, it does not always happen with orgasm, and it's amazing and it feels amazing, but it's not the same or doesn't always happen at the same time as like peaking an orgasm. So that's interesting. I don't know. I guess we need to do some more research and come back together find the person who knows.
Yeah. Well, and just speaking to, like a piece that was coming through as you were sharing about birth and sex, and like they're not different, but they are, you know, it reminded me of this phrase that one of my elder teachers, Wapio, speaks to, which is like the energy that gets the baby in is the same energy that gets the baby out, right? Like it is the oxytocin, it is the environment, like the set and setting, it's like it's all of it, right? And they aren't different. And I feel like, you know, in some ways we're causing harm by creating like these sterile environments that are pushing away the sexual nature of the experience, you know, and that, yeah, that primal connectedness with the sensual.
They're sensory experiences. And so, yeah, it's sometimes hospital environments, oftentimes all the time, but you can, know about it. And that helps to create some familiarity in that space, because that environment is so not conducive a lot of times to our, instinct. The other thing that I'm thinking as you're talking, and to destigmatize, because we are her, we are creation herself, and sex and motherhood and cooking and, nursing and just being that ground and that center for our whole family, our babies for sure. But our partners too. And to tend to the mother, in this way, to love her and let her be beautiful and in her fullest expression. Absolutely. And it's all the same. And I guess I'm kind of moved and also at a loss for words of my awe of how perfect and divine and, central, this is. I love talking about going out to the stars. I love traveling in the stars. I love these experiences that are psychedelic, or even birth, which is highly psychedelic, and I believe we produce DMT. We're really opening that spirit door all the way, and there's nothing more of this earth than birth. And so, bringing it home to that and letting mothers, be in their true power and beauty and creation, and how when she's happy, everyone's happy. And so, more love and more orgasms and more just ecstatic homes and families and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And speaking to that connection, even just being a birth attendant since I was 19, I have not birthed myself, but I remember describing to a close friend after attending my first birth that it felt like standing on this bridge between the earth and the cosmos, and just witnessing this woman, being in her primal earth body, but shooting up to the stars to retrieve the soul of her baby at the same time, and it really feels like that bridge. Between spirit and matter.
Is that bridge? It doesn't just feel like it. We become the spirit door. We are her. We are creation herself. It's actually too enormous. It's it's too much to hold, which is why we ground and back to the great mother and letting her hold us and slow us back down and make us better mothers. And also ground us in that enormous work of opening wide so that we can bring life through us. It is. When I'm teaching and talking about it, I'm not making this up. Where there was one, there's two. It's real. It's incredible. And to me, it's one of the most incredible experiences that one can have, as far as physical, spiritual, emotional. It brings us to the very edges of our feminine range and awakens us, and changes us and transforms us and upgrades us. It's so powerful. And then some people, don't do it, or can't, or decide they want to not feel it. And everyone has the right to choose their own path. Some people get hijacked on their path for sure, and that can create a lot of frustration. But then, hopefully have the chance to do it again. And when they do it again, they're not the same person that did it the first time. They're a mother, they are initiated. I get excited. I'm so excited for you, and for that initiation, and knowing how much it will change you, and also that you get to experience the greatest love ever, it's just so exciting. And also to me, I don't have any other conversation I'd rather have. So, thanks so much for having me here to talk about it.
Yeah, this has been so, so beautiful. And like, I'm just, yeah, I feel like my heart is just like, oh, like I'm just like bursting open. And it's so genuinely inspiring to hear you speak and like to feel like your deep devotion to this path that you're walking and your teachings, and you know that you've been on this journey for some time, and like the passion is so there and just like oozing out of you, you know, it's so deeply felt. Yeah, it's beautiful.
I trust it so much more now than I knew how to trust it. And I've seen harder births. I've seen more. And I've never had so much faith in the journey to, you know, be the hardest thing, you know, and be exactly what we need, just like other really hard things in our lives that catalyze enormous growth and healing. This journey is for healing. Like it's all for our healing and our growth. And when you have a baby, like they are, you know, you meet your best friend, your greatest teacher, and they grow you up and change you as much, probably more than we, you know, do for them actually. Jaden's 12 and, he's taught me how to be a really good mom to Jaden and has changed my life. Definitely the greatest gift of my life so far, for sure. And, you know, I start Enlightened Birth just like with this, like, yeah, like the why. I have like a whole story, like, and like, why does she have to feel this and that kind of thing? And then there's so much more of what we've been through today. A lot of that's woven in, especially the really key parts of my journey. But it's definitely not a story about me. There's my story in the back of the book, along with lots of other birth stories. But it's Enlightened Birth, the class, and done in a way that hopefully I wish it was like more psychedelic in some ways, but what is more important to me is that it reaches far and wide, and is well received and understood. And so it's like a birth class in a book with lots of practices and guided meditations and spiritual teachings that you could apply to your birth, or you could apply to your marriage or your life or your work, because it really is, all the same.
Mm, yeah. Oh, I'm so excited about this book. So is it, you launched the book already, or it's in the works?
And so it's written, and so the manuscript is complete. Not that it won't be combed over many more times, but it is complete. I'm so happy to feel that was kind of my goal by my birthday. And I have an amazing editor, and she's kind of like a writing coach, and she's working with me to create the proposal now. And so as she's, you know, tempered my expectations that this could take years to find the perfect, you know, agent and publisher and things like that, I actually, like, you know, just like birth, I just have so much faith in the divine timing and alignment of all of this. This is, you know, I want it to reach places for my benefit, probably, sure, for sure. But it doesn't even feel like that. It feels like this life's work is like coming through me, and it will be what it will be. And I'm just like really, really grateful to have it be born, because it's, you know, been a long, long labor of love. And it's just one more way of, you know, inspiring and hopefully making an impact, as they say, you know, like peace on earth begins with birth. I think I was starting to go into it, maybe didn't finish, but the depth and potential for healing, like ancestral healing, like really deep changing healing of humanity, you know, if we were coming in with that flooding of oxytocin that is available to us, and, you know, mothers were awoken through their birthing journey more often instead of medicated. Even when it's working, they're medicated, especially like in the third stage, doing active management, adding Pitocin into the picture at that last second. I really believe, as I've been in the hospital recently, like there are many, many nurses who've never seen a third stage without it. And, you know, it kind of breaks my heart, and it's not at all personal. It's like, I just want it for every mother that initiation. And also, if anyone's listening and feeling sad or bummed that that wasn't them, like, it wasn't me either. And I still was deeply initiated. Of course, I fell madly in love with my boy. Like, all of that love and healing is still there. And it's really, again, those injuries that mark on the land is really, you know, just what awakens so much growth and healing also. And so just to keep that in mind, and that, you know, we're also growing up and healing from many other things in our lives. And again, almost always it's the stuff that didn't work or was hard or really rocked us to our root, but we stay grounded and we grow into the best women and mothers and care providers for our families, and also for our, like, the caring for, you know, the world, which mm-hmm. needs it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, birth truly is at the root of everything, right? Like, it is. And yeah, I feel like there's such potential for the world to heal, you know, if birth is honored, and yeah, there's a lot of work to be done. But, you know, I think having a resource like your book will likely impact so, so many lives. And I can't wait to read it myself. It's so exciting, and congratulations for that completion. Like, that must feel so good. If there's anything else that you want to speak to around the book, obviously you gave us like a little glimpse. I want to like offer that space, or if there's maybe an aspect of the book that you're most excited to share, or yeah, who knows?
I've shared a lot, and it's a birth preparation guide, and then it also spends plenty of time about healing after birth, and you know, it's a whole mother body, as I say. Like, it takes time and lots of love and tenderness. But the healing is real. To heal all the way is super important. I love every bit of it. So I can't say that there's like a part that I want to like highlight. And I actually feel like we've shared so much good juicy stuff. And I hope to like make it, you know, accessible. I do teach it monthly in Sonoma, and I'm working out for people who feel really called to have that in the live version, where I teach prenatal yoga, just moved into a hotel, like, and so, working it out. So it's more like a baby moon. So I teach yoga on Sunday. The birth class is all day on Saturday. And so people could even come in town and stay at the hotel and, get spa treatments also, or get a session with me on, you know, around that, and be able to have that really special birth preparation experience, and also a little getaway. So that's exciting. Yeah. Who knows what the future holds? Maybe even some online options. I used to have some when we were all online for the few years that we were, but I haven't recorded it in a way that I feel like I want to like birth that into the world yet. But maybe that will be coming.
Totally. Well, we'll definitely include ways of finding you and your work in the show notes, and yeah, your future offerings. Definitely want to support you in that way. And yeah, for anyone that is heading to Costa Rica soon, Kate will be back at Origins this year. Are you going to be at both the new moon and full moon? Nice.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Aw. Yeah. I'm so in awe of birth, of the, you know, the feminine body and all that it is, and creation herself, you know, as you say. And it's so inspiring to have these conversations. And I'm really grateful for the space that we've shared tonight. And thank you for your sweet blessings. It feels like almost like vulnerable to finally claim this like preconception space that, you know, like I've dreamed of being a mother for my pretty much entire existence. So it feels like such a potent time, you know, and yeah, just appreciate everything that you've shared, and know that I'm receiving so much from it all, and know that our listeners will as well. So thank you, Kate.
Thank you so much, Mackenzie. It was a joy.
If you're enjoying the show, please follow us on your platform of choice. You can turn on notifications for when new episodes are being released. Rating the show, leaving a review, and sharing with your friends and loved ones who would resonate is super supportive. And if you feel like you or someone in your life would be a good fit for the show, don't hesitate to message me at Mama Psychedelia on Instagram or send me an email. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time.